and I will set it here and let it pick me up so that it won't be in my firing range. Because when I am talking, I talk with my arms and my hands and my legs and everything else, because I enjoy life. I like this little magic penny thing that you've thrown at here, and I think it's kind of interesting. And it's true. It's true. I was a very diligent man. I am a very diligent man. I'm a very wealthy man. I'm a very healthy man, a very happy man. I love life. I'm 25 years old. You may have noticed that. Thank you. Yes? Now, when I lived in Newport Beach, California, I thought, nice place. So then I moved into Corona del Mar, right up over the beach, looking at the beautiful beach and seeing the beautiful weather, the ocean. And I thought, well, I'll sell real estate for a while. That seems like a very prosperous thing to do. So I got into the real estate sales business. I took my licenses for my broker as well as salesman and everything. And I was low man on the totem pole. So they put me in a corner of the office, and I received the people who came in that nobody else wanted, or if nobody else was there, or the ones who wanted rentals. And so the people would come in and they'd want rentals, and I'd say, wonderful. And I would take them in my Lincoln Continental convertible with the top down, of course, and cruise around and say, now here's this, which one would you like? But I had very good ears. I have very good ears. And I listened to them as they sat in the back seat. And the wife would say to the husband, yes, dear, we do want to buy a rental property. Ooh, I thought they were only coming to rent something. And I listened. And so I had purchased some property, nice rental property, so I took them to that. And I said, this is the greatest, y'all. Nice fourplex with a swimming pool and all furnished, and the summer rentals are great, and the winter rentals are great, and it's great. We'll take it. I believed in it, and I sold it to them, and they bought it. Went up from about 20% from when I bought it 3 months before. And that's great. So then, as I was driving them back to the office, the wife said, but dear, we want a place for ourselves at the ocean. We want a place where we can live at the ocean. And I flopped my ears and I said, oh yes, let me give you a view of the ocean. It's so lovely down there. And of course, I knew my property. And I said, here we have a lovely home, and here we have a lovely home. This is a nice home. You can rent the lower part, or you can have your children come and stay in the lower part, you know, because they're in college and so forth, and they like to be independent. And upstairs is beautiful. It's this lovely view and the large windows overlooking the ocean, overlooking Corona del Mar Beach. We'll take it. And they wrote me big checks for each, you know, like better than 10% down on each one. And he signed his name J.T. Ward. J-J-A-Y-T Ward. And I was ignorant, but happy. And I said, and Mr. Ward, what do you do? He said, oh, I draw pictures. I said, that's wonderful. And I asked someone else in the office, I said, what does J.T. Ward do? Well, he draws Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocket J. Squirrel and Natasha and the gang, you know. How do you do? You know. And so then he invited me up to his castle in Hollywood, overlooking Hollywood, a great big beautiful castle home. It was a castle. And he invited me to his daughter's wedding, and he invited me to his son's this and that and the other thing. And we became very good friends. And he was a real estate broker himself as well as an artist, but he had me do his work for him. And I thought, hey, that's really nice. Well, one of the houses on the beach that I sold belonged to Dr. Sandor, a wonderful Jewish man, 100% Jewish man. And Dr. Sandor's wife said to me, "All right now, you've sold our home at the beach. Now, what are we going to do?" What a question to ask me. And I said, "Well, Mrs. Sandor, you said you wanted to get away from the beach, but you still wanted to be on the beach because the kids were tracking in sand all the time into your house, and, you know, it was just a little difficult. I have a place at the other end of the beach here. It belonged to Mr. Heisler, a lovely place, and it's just beautiful." And I took her to see the lovely place, and she says, "Yes, I'll take it. My organ fits here, this fits here," and we're above the beach. The children have to walk up this long stairway, pounding all the sand off their feet by the time they get up there, and it's wonderful. And so, before that, I was low man on the totem pole. I was selling the $20,000 homes. This was back in the 60s. I was selling the $20,000 homes and making a good living selling 20 or 30 of them every year. But then one day, I went to the real estate brokers board meeting, which is a breakfast meeting held every Thursday in the yacht club. Real class, you know. And so there was a special table there. There was a table that said, "This is where the millionaire salesmen sit. People who sell $1 million worth of property a year." And I thought, hey, that's cool. My mother always told me, "You're known by the people you associate with." So I went over and sat at their table. And I could hear them mumbling not to's under their breath. I could hear them say, "Barley, what are you doing over here, you know? You're new in real estate. You just got your licenses. You're just beginning. But you're sitting over here. You haven't sold $1 million worth of property." They didn't know that they were my mentors, my catalyst. They were my example. And so I said, "Okay, now." I took a boat and went out sailing in the ocean. And I laid out there in the sun and I was thinking, how are they selling $1 million worth of property a year? How are they doing this? And I thought to myself, mama comes up again. You're known by the people you associate with. I have been associating with people who own $20,000 pieces of property that they were selling. So then I decided I'd have to associate with people who are having $500,000 pieces of property or $1 million pieces of property right on the beach, you know, and they were there. But I felt inferior to them because I was just beginning. I didn't know all the rules. Later I learned there are no rules except to like yourself and be fun. To be fun, have fun, and like yourself, or however I phrase it. It's all good. So, I went to every house on the beachfront and listed it. And this was the time when the Arabs were coming over and spending big money for places that nobody else could afford, and they were willing to pay big prices. And I'd go to these people and say to them, "Would you sell your house?" "No, no, 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 no. We've lived here for 20 years. We like living here. I don't want to sell my house." And I'd say, "Well, what if some Arab came along and offered you some outrageous price for this? What would you ask them for?" They didn't know that the price that they were going to tell me was no longer outrageous. It was quite common, but they were not aware of what the prices were. So, I'd want $200,000 for my place. I'd want $500,000. I'd want $500,000. You know, this $500,000 and $500,000, same thing. But so they said that, and I said, "Wonderful, let's list it. Let's list it." And I listed it. I listed all the homes on the beachfront. I lived right next to it. I lived all. Then I went into the lovely Irvine Terrace places where the houses were on leasehold land. You didn't even own the land. You rented the land, but you had this glorious house there because all the houses were glorious. And within 2 months, I was a bona fide member of the Millionaire Club. I sold houses, and I did not waste time. I don't have time to fool around with people. I qualify them. I talk to the people and I say, "What do you want with your home?" "Oh, I want this luxurious home and I want this and that." "No, no, 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 no. What are you going to do there?" "Well, I'm going to raise my children. I want them to be raised in the lap of luxury. We can afford it. I want this and I want that. And I said, great. Then let's get a home that has a lovely family room where the children can be together with you and can do things together. Let's have it with enough bedrooms for each child to have their own bedroom. Let's have a nice swimming pool in the middle of the courtyard and so forth like that. Let's overlook the ocean. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because I knew the house I was talking about. And I told them how wonderful it was because I loved it. I thought it was great. I bent over and looked at it and I saw it. And I told them and I took them there. One house, one sale. They bought it. And on with other wonderful people. I changed my whole attitude about myself in a matter of months from being a $20,000 a year salesman, not $20,000 a year, but selling $20,000 properties to selling $500,000 properties. And the switch was no more than that. Because I stopped thinking $20,000 properties. And I started thinking $500,000 properties. You say, Herb, what has this got to do with spiritual ideas and spiritual empowerment and so forth? And it has everything to do with it. I have been with you now almost 2 days, and I have heard you tell me so much garbage that I am just up to here with it. And you're not alone. Every church I go to throughout the world, and I mean world, I lecture at universities and colleges all over Europe and all over the United States and in Canada and Mexico and South America. I get around and have a good time. And, you know, your friend Randy had the audacity to say to me last night, Herb, how much money should we pay you for being here? And I told him, $30 million would be a good start, you know. And he said, yeah, but let's be realistic. And I said, don't be realistic. You pay me, and that's up to you, you pay me what you feel this is worth to you. And so he says, I'm going hock. I have to sell the church, you know. But no, this is the point. What is this worth to you? Now, I've told you this illustration about my real estate activity, and, you know, it got tiring. It got tiring. I just made money and made money and made money and made money, and I wasn't having fun anymore. I had risen to the top and had a good time, and as I did with each of my activities, which I enjoyed very much. And I'm not trying to say I am so damn good and you're not. I'm just saying I practice the principle. You each call yourself a Christian. You each are in a church because you believe in God or something like that. But are you Christians? Are you really believers? My dad would always say to me, my dad is a building contractor and a builder, and five of us kids, we worked with him and so forth. He'd say, if you're going to pound a nail in, grab the base of the hammer and hit the nail square on the head and drive it in with one blow. Well, here we were 15 years old with skinny arms, you know. We didn't have any muscle like he did in him. But he taught us, drive it home, square. If you're going to do anything, do it right the first time. Because you always have time to do it over. But do it right the first time, and you won't have to do it over. Like yourself. If you like yourself, everybody else will like yourself. My father was, in my experience, active during the time of the Depression. I know none of you know about that, but he was active during the time of the Depression. And money was at a very great premium. But we lived in a very luxurious area of Wauwatosa in Wisconsin. We had a very lovely home. Our neighbors were the A.O. Smiths, of the A.O. Smiths and the Alice Charmers and the Key Caper Lawnmower Companies and all these great things. And they were great people. They were great people. But their money was all invested in their factories, and they didn't really have take-home money to buy food for their family. And their kids used to eat at our house, and it was a nice experience. But my dad would always say, I deal with people I don't deal with projects of building houses. I deal with people. I go up to Randy and I say, Randy, I'm glad to build your house for you. Well, that's more, he built a lot of houses too, but when he built their industries and their businesses like Miller Brewery and Budweiser, and he built those, he'd go up to the people who were in charge, and usually it was the man who founded it, because that was back in the days when they were founding these things. And he'd say to him, let's just say Mr. Budweiser, Mr. Budweiser, you want to increase your factory? Very good. You want to add another 15,000 square feet to it? Fine. I'll have a figure for you in the morning. So he went home. My dad had an eighth grade education. He didn't go any further because he had to get out and work. And he learned his craft very well, and he figured it. He went back to Mr. Budweiser in the morning and says, it's going to cost you $1,500,000 to put up. At that time, that's a lot of money. And I'm going to see if I can save money by buying quantity supplies of various things, because I'm also doing some work for Miller. Do you do work for Miller too? Yes. And so then he said, but it'll be at least $1.5 million. And Mr. Budweiser said, very good, Herb. I accept. Shake, shake, paw. No papers, no signing, no nothing. Just a shake. Just confidence within him. And then my dad built it, and he did it. Now, I'm not saying these things to you to tout my dad, because all of our grandparents, who would be your grandparents, because you're all a bunch of kids, just like me, all of our grandparents would not buy things unless they had the money to buy it, remember? You didn't buy things unless you had cash in hand. Not that they wouldn't give you credit, they gave you credit. But man, they charged 1%, 2%, and 3% interest. I mean, my God, they want everything, you know. And so my dad says, no way, we're going to give them cash. We're not going to give them 1%, 2%, or 3% interest, you know, on our money, you know. Well, goodness sakes. But anyhow. So I learned under my father, and he taught me these things, and I believed that they were wonderful and good, and I followed him. I didn't worship my dad. I loved him. I didn't always understand him, but I loved him. His wisdom was well given. All five of us kids have each taken away the gift that were special to each of us that we were able to understand. But now, each of you are going around saying that you are children of God. And how unfortunate. Because Jesus has taught us that we're not children of God. He said, look low here or low there, but the kingdom of God is within you. He said, as we said before, be ye perfect, even as is your Father which art within you. And if it's the Father within you, you can't be the son of something like that. But these are symbols. These are all symbols. But one of the wonderful things that he said, and I repeat this so often, it's done unto us according to our belief. Okay. It's done unto us according to our belief. Mother said, you're known by the people you associate with. So I began associating with the Millionaire Club, and immediately I wanted to be like them. I wanted to live in that opulence, in that joy that they were. And so I let my mind work in that area. And I became a multi-millionaire using their program. Wonderful. Wonderful. But I give it away, which is another story. But I became what I had in my consciousness. Now I want to get down to the point for all of you of where I am taking you. Each one of you say, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe in that. Bull roar. Do you believe it when your father says, strike the nail hard on the head and drive it straight in? Yes, yes, that's good wisdom. Always do it right the first time and you won't have to do it again. Yes, that's good wisdom. Well, Jesus said, it is done unto you according to your belief. My friends, what is your belief? Is your belief that I am whole and perfect? Is your belief, I am independently wealthy? Is your belief, I am great, I am wonderful, I am beautiful, I am fantastic? Is that your belief? That's what Jesus told us to say about ourselves. Be ye perfect, therefore, even as is your Father, which art in heaven. We are supposed to do that. And yet we go around saying, I'm sick. You are sick? You living in the body, the temple of the living God, and you're saying that this temple is imperfect? How salacious. How absolutely unrighteous. How terrible for you to deny the divinity that's within you. And me too. We all fall in the trap occasionally. We all fall in the trap occasionally. And we must not fall in that trap. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are you ready for that? Jack, are you ready for that?
Amen,
bro. Amen. Let's all say, amen. 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 Okay, right this minute, let's each one of us say, I like me. Together. I like me. I am independently wealthy. I am independently wealthy. I follow the words of Jesus the Christ in all areas of my life. Together. I follow the words of Jesus the Christ in all areas of my life. I am that kind of a Christian. Together. I am that kind of a Christian. Now, judge not lest ye be judged. Oh, those Mormons, all those Catholics, all those New Thought people. I don't know, what's the name of our organization here? All the Fellowship of what? Don't come. Huh? Fellowship of the Spirit. I should have a note here. Oh, there it is. Fellowship of the Spirit. I'll be back one of these days. You watch. They'll ask me back. They'll have the $30 million. You betcha. And I will give it as a donation. Ha, 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 ha. You know, he had the chance. He had the chance to write the check. And he had the chance to receive it back as a donation. But then if he tries to spend his own donation, he could do it. He could do it. Live in this consciousness of abundance. Live in this consciousness of the reality. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know why he said that? Because the little children are not jaded with the ideas that they're good or bad. The little children do everything what they do and they have fun. They love themselves. They think they're wonderful. We should never forget that we still are little children and we are wonderful. We are beautiful. We are glorious. I went on to other work, writing for magazines and publishing magazines and stuff. I just loved doing things, being active. After you've risen to the top of real estate profession and done everything you set your mind to, then you go on to do other things and you have fun. And I'm just continually having fun. And I was writing a story about a man who was building a building and in a very lush place of Laguna Beach. And afterwards he says, Herb, let's go have a drink together. So we had a beer. And he says, do you like to sail? I said, I love it. So we got on his 20-foot yacht. And we sailed it out into the bay. And it's a Viking sloop. We just had a great time. He says, Herb, you're a good sailor. I said, yes, I know. Yeah. But yes, I enjoy it. And he says, I got an extra sail in the back of my car. Take it and put it in your car. And whenever you want to go sailing, take my boat and sail. I will maintain it. I will paint it. I will do all the things to it. I will dry dock it. I will do it. You just enjoy it. And if it's not there when I want it, I'll take one of my other boats. Ha, ha, ha. And so I had a boat. Every time I turn around, whatever my joy was, whatever my happiness was, it was there. Did I own it? You bet I owned it. While I was aboard that boat, I was the captain. I was in charge. It was my boat. I went to Europe to speak at a number of organizations there, and my sponsor said, Herb, I want you to be here, and I'm getting you a car so you can drive around. I said, wonderful. I said, I really enjoy the Mercedes 450 SL, you know. So I went over there, and he had leased me a beautiful blue Mercedes 450 SL and the top down. And it rained, the top down. And the sun was shining, the top was down. At nighttime, the top was down. Daytime, the top was down. We had a ball. And he paid for the gas. He had his credit cards. He paid for all the restaurants. He paid for everything. And I had to do was get up and talk to people and tell them how much I love them as I love you. Tell them what my problem is. And I'll tell you what my problem is right now. It's been my problem all my life, and it's been a cross that I've had to bear. It's something that has been very tough. Every single person that I see is an exact duplicate of me. And I see every person on the face of the earth as the most glorious, wonderful, successful, happy being who ever walked the face of the earth. And I see every woman on earth eagerly wanting to hug me and kiss me. I see every man wanting to hug me and say, you're great. I see every dog walking up to me, wagging his tail and saying, oh, I love you, Dad, come on, give me a pet, you know. And every cat, every possum, every skunk, every rattlesnake. Yes, back at our place in California, we have rattlesnakes up in the mountains there. You have them here, I'm sure, too. But I love them. I love them all. And they're wonderful. I love everything. That's right. And I love them all. And you, as of this day, are inculcated. You are poured into your soul, your being, this love that I have for myself. And I love each one of you with all my heart and all my soul and all my being. And I see you independently wealthy. Is that okay? I see you perfectly healthy. My topic was going to be health today, and of course you really got part of it. And part of the thing is, in the prayer meeting this morning, people were saying that certain people were sick and certain people needed help and certain people needed safe journeys and stuff like that. And I said, no. See them like you see yourself, whole and perfect. You're not having a safe journey because you're having a joyous journey. What sort of nonsense do you want to put in my mind about having a safe journey on an airplane? You think I want this September 11th thing on my airplane? No way. No way ever again. No way will that ever happen in the entire universe because I will not empower it with my thought. I will not even pray for peace talking about September 11th. Because right now, there is peace on earth. And it began with me. Right now, there is peace on earth. And it began with you. And you live in a world of peace. You live in a world filled with people that love you madly, joyously, harmoniously. And you love them. And you know, you're independently wealthy. You live in your... Let me just include myself too here. I am independently wealthy. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I like me. I am a happy fellow. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You are wonderful. I love you. And I look forward to seeing you soon again. And if you ever choose to come to California, you're welcome to come to the University of Healing and see our 104-acre campus up in the mountains. And as I was telling Randy, we have three houses there that we haven't even put anybody in. They never had a use for them, but all the other places are filled. And I have books back here. I am a gift from Self to Self. I'd be happy to autograph it if you bought it. If you don't buy it, I won't autograph it for you. But and then there's some other pamphlets back there and other things. And there's our GIST. This is our monthly magazine that we put out. You're welcome to pick up a free copy of that. And it tells all sorts of neat things in there. But I want you to know, I don't want you to ever consider that you are my friend, because I have no friends. I unconditionally love everybody. I love everyone exactly the same. My son, my wife, my family, whoever it is, I love everyone the same, unconditionally. I will not love you specially. I love you just like I love myself, unconditionally. And I will not see you, if you come this afternoon and talk about anything, I will not see what you have as a problem, see no evil, hear no evil. I will only hear your solution. I might run over, but who cares? I was working in the Science of Mind, United Church of Religious Science in Los Angeles, and I was the associate editor of the Science of Mind magazine. And next to us was the healing ministry that they had. And in the healing ministry were some of the practitioners. Well, one lady practitioner was a very nice lady, proper lady, good lady in every way. She chose to work on the million-dollar group, you know. So she chose to work with the movie stars. So she was a practitioner for the movie stars. The movie stars would call her up and say, Vera, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then she would say, it's done. Go and claim your good. And so they'd go and claim their good, and they'd say, wow, you're a great lady, you're a great practitioner. What can I do for you? And she said, well, just pay your normal practitioner fee, that's fine. And, that's not enough. Well, let your heart tell you what to do, you know. And so one of her people that she was a practitioner for sent her a brand new Thunderbird, what was it in those days back in the 60s, 70s, T4 or something or other, you know, they had different numbers to them. This was top of the mark. And she paraded into the parking lot with her glorious car with the windows open and saying, this is what being a practitioner does, you know, this is how a practitioner lives, you know, abundant and happy and harmonious and healthy. And all the other practitioners were jealous. And so she said to the other practitioners, you are so silly. Don't be jealous of me. Be better than I am. And by being better than I am, go and have yourself a Rolls Royce. You know, go and have yourself a whatever kind of car that turns you on, if a car. Or let them give you the extra home in Malibu or something like that. You know, you don't care. You don't need this. You just surround yourself with your pure white light of love, and the good of the universe pours into your world. You ask Randy and Susan about that. They are people who don't work with money. They work with ideas. They work with a spiritual consciousness. And they say all of their thoughts, not needs or desires, because they have no needs or desires, but all of their dreaming, all of their creative thought manifests instantly. And just like each one of you, you used to come to church on Sunday and give a dollar in the offering, you know, that was, you know, a lot of people still do. But you come and you give commensurate with your wealth. If you have earned, say, $10,000 this past week, you give 10%. And that's wonderful. And that's the way it should be. If you're on a pension or if you're on any type of specific income, whatever you take in to spend for yourself, you give 10% to the church. Not because they need it, but because they take that money and spread it out so that others can hear the messages of truth and love and beauty from the various speakers they bring before you to enhance, enlighten, and enchant your life. So keep that in mind. But I'm taking more of your time.
That's fine.
He's wonderful, isn't he? That's fine. Remember this. And this, to me, is one of the most important things. You're not giving money to God when you tithe. You're giving money to that organization that sort of enhances your spiritual growth. But everyone, will you please take your finger and point to God? Point to God. Come on. Don't you believe God's in you? Yeah, I mean, you might think it's sacrilegious, but it's sacrilegious to say that there's some place that God is not. That's sacrilegious, I tell you. So, this is the temple of the living God. First tithe to the temple of the living God. Put 10% of everything you receive in a given period, a week, a month, a year, put it aside for your use. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you may know or may not know. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. Poof, it's there. Poof, it's not there. God doesn't need your money. You tithe to your happiness fund. And whatever makes you happy, you take 10% of whatever you've been playing with during the week or the month, and you have a good time. You don't buy something you need or want. You just go out and have a good time. You go out and spread it around and share it and do wonderful things. Girls, how would you like it if your mother would share 10% of her happiness fund with you each month? You know, each month, each one of you would get 10% of the family income to play with. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, she gets it already. She says, so what else is new? But what is she saying? She is saying, well, Dr. Barley, you realize that I am a mathematician. And if mother gives me 10% of the family income, and she gives my sister 10% of the family income, and then she keeps 10% of the family income for herself, and then she gives 10% of the family income to the church, that means what? Sounds like 40% of the family income. Now, then she gives another 10% of the family income to the government. No. That's already been done. So, 40%. And maybe Papa's there. And if Papa's there, another 10%. And maybe brother is there. And my goodness, if you have a family of 6 or 8 kids, each gets 10%. Why not? Always think this in your consciousness, if I may help you with it. Be like Bill Gates. Bill Gates does not mind spending $1 billion a year, actually spends more than that, in taxes. Because that means he has to have so much money to do that with. Wouldn't you like to have enough money as your income every month for you to have to spend $1,000 a month on taxes? Wouldn't you love to do that? Stop and think. If you had the money to do that, you would be very comfortable. And I want you to be very comfortable because I am very comfortable. I live in my eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am independently wealthy. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. I like me. I am God. God I am. I am a happy person. I am not God for you, nor are you God for anybody else. You're God for yourself. You are not master for anyone else or yourself. You are a person who lives who you are. You are wonderful. You are good. You are glorious. And I love all of you. And if you ever doubt that, try loving yourself a little bit. You need to have a little massage in there of love. And when you do, you'll find life is exciting. And you are there. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for privileging me to come and speak to you today and share these ideas with you today. And it'll be wonderful to see you in California. And it'll be wonderful if you decide to take the courses of the University of Healing. The syllabus is back there if you're interested, because everybody who takes the courses of the University of Healing is independently wealthy, lives in their eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I love them with all my heart, soul, and being.